Welcome to the Lucky Titan Podcast. Here you will learn how to fill your favorite platform with tons of your dream customers from some of the world's top entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Josh Tapp. Now let's get started. What is up, everybody? Josh Tapp here again, and welcome back to the Lucky Titan Podcast. And today we're here with Adam Force. He's the founder and CEO of ChangeCreator.com. This guy has had a pretty extensive track record in the branding space. You know, he's worked with WebMD as the director of strategic marketing. You know, he's worked in a lot of different large companies in a branding and marketing role. And so he took those skills, leveraged that into his own company, and now they've been able to do some amazing things in the branding space. And when I heard his interview on Entrepreneurs on Fire, I was like, yep, this is a guy we got to have on this show. So I'm excited to have you on here, Adam. So say what's up to everybody, and then let's hop in, man.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for having me here, man. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. All right, Adam. I was about to call you Brad. Just got off another interview, so here we go. But Adam, I'm excited to have you in here, man. So let me ask you this. I want to start off first with kind of your, what is your brand strategy that you use for your own company?
My brand strategy. Yeah. So I guess I break it down into a couple parts. We focus on building brand equity by having a polished look. We like to be professional. We believe first impressions matter. We like to have a strong brand story because how we communicate with people is not just the verbal communication. It's part of that visual expression. And we believe that a story is how we create meaningful change, right? It's a shift in values. And I think those two components, without getting too overcomplicated and deep, those primary things are really important to a brand strategy. So if you're focusing on that brand story, it kind of becomes the driver for your brand visual and everything else that trickles down. So I can even narrow it down to that one step, really.
See, and I love that. And so it's all about, not all about, but it's very heavily dependent upon the visual elements of branding. So you're talking logos, websites, you know, their podcasts or what have you. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, so for example, you know, the way we approach that is we integrate the founder story as part of, or I would say the backbone of the business, right? It becomes the backbone of the marketing strategy. Because now we're helping take elements of someone's life and vision and a promise they're making to the world, the things they believe in, and they're threading that through the marketing strategy. So that is expressed. It's the ethos of the brand, right? When you start looking at that and you start understanding what that is and then who you're attracting with that information and how you're helping with your expertise and your background, all of a sudden you can start seeing, well, what would someone expect from this brand? If they come to Harley Davidson, are they going to see a pink website with bunnies? No, that's not the expectation. you know, so it's really, when it comes down to the visual, it's driven by all that other research, insights about yourself, how you're connecting, the customer profile and all these things. So you got some legwork to do in order to get to that visual expression.
Yeah, and I love that. I'm looking at your website here, and I think you guys did an excellent job of that with your own company, which is good because sometimes branding companies are like, huh.
Start.
Start with your own company.
It's true. And you mentioned the visual stuff. And so like that story, you know, it starts with the logo. You know, a lot of people, I mean, does the logo have to say everything about the brand? No. I mean, you look at Google, you look at others, and you're like, those words meant nothing when they started. And it can be done, but you're not making your life easier, right? So change creator, take a stand with your brand, right? Hit the tagline. As you keep going through it, it just unfolds deeper and deeper, but it's all connected, right? It's cohesive.
Well, and like you're saying, it speaks across all the platforms. And I think that's one of the things that we've even seen as on a scaling side, that's absolutely crucial, especially as you try to scale past that seven figures mark. And yeah. So I do want to ask you this question for the kind of the newer entrepreneurs. At what point do you think they should really be focusing on their logos, their websites, and things like that?
I mean, I could sit here and say you could start selling without a website out of the gate, and you can, and maybe you should. I think it's early on that you start focusing on your story, you have to understand yourself, right? So people are setting goals for 2021. We're not setting goals. We are just determining who we need to become, right? In order to get where we want to go to the destination. And as you're thinking about those things, you have to start thinking through it. And this is a part that people don't want to do as their brand strategy. So if you're starting a company, you've got to sit down and think about who do I need to become to build this vision that I have? Like, I have this idea, and they don't want to spend the time to like think through it and kind of like map it out. They just want to start creating things in Canva or Photoshop and just doing stuff. And, you know, I get that. But if you can, it's kind of, you know, what I use is the three little pigs analogy. You don't want to be the little pig building their house out of straw, because you're rushing to get to the stuff that you enjoy and want to have fun with, right? You got to do the house out of brick so that it has a strong foundation. And that's where digging into your story. So like, for example, I always did a self-inventory. Like, that's how I started Change Creator itself. Doing a self-inventory, understanding all the components of my life that were very important, and finding these common intersections, right? Because just because you have a lot of skill in something doesn't mean that that's something you want to do. And just because you are talented in something else doesn't mean that that's what you want to do. So you got to find like that balance. But I think right out of the gate, get into what you're all about, why you're doing this, you know, the famous Simon Sinek why, right? And you get into that stuff. And now, as far as the visual goes, I don't start a business without a pretty website, because there's no excuse today anymore for not having a pretty website. And if you want people to take you seriously, it's my belief that that only helps you, right? So I was selling deals before I even had a product, because I was able to give beautiful handouts and I had a landing page and all those types of things, right?
Yeah. And I love that. And I want to repeat a comment you said in that, because I love that. So who do I want to become to fulfill on my vision, or the vision of the company, like that? I love that you mentioned that first, because really, you know, the first few months, years, depending on how long your business journey takes, should be about finding that story. You know, I mean, it's kind of like the cool thing to do, to start a business in your dorm room or what have you, right? I did that, and we got a lot of good stories. We fail a lot of times along the way because of time constraints and money constraints, yeah, or what have you. Yeah. And a lot of those things have fed into our story, but I know that for a lot of people, they're coming out of the gate and they kind of have a lot of different stories, but they don't really understand how their story relates to the people that they're trying to sell. And I think that's what you guys are doing so beautifully, is saying, let's get a story that really resonates with your audience, and then, you know, leverage that story instead of just your life story.
You nailed it. I mean, it, and you'll find pieces, like we do certain parts of our process in our program, and we're like, people go through it and they're like, oh my God, I haven't talked about that in years. I haven't thought about that. And they're like, it's like percolating things about them that are, it's like deep inside, but it, all of a sudden, like, they're growing more confident. They're thinking about these things. They're becoming more vulnerable. And it just strengthens the brand connection. We call it a story bridge, because we're bridging them with their story to connect to that perfect customer for them based on who they are and what they're all about.
Yeah, I love it. Well, and I have to kind of like poke it at one of your theories on this too, because like you said, I think everybody needs to have a beautiful website and a great, yeah, logo, and something that really represents who they are. I'm a big believer in that. The one caveat I would throw in there, and you can dispute this if you'd like to, is I don't think you should ever do it yourself. I think too many people are waiting to try and close sales until their logo and their website and everything's done. And if you're waiting for that, it's never done. I mean, your website is never finished. It's always, always going to need a new page or a new SEO iteration, or you need a new logo, or you need a new product, you know, demo or whatever, right? There's so many different things that are going to be changing. So instead of waiting to make the sales, be doing it while somebody else is building this for you, is in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, you don't want to get stuck with that perfectionism. You don't want to get stuck doing things that maybe you're not good at, right? Like, I happen to be a designer. Like, I can like throw up website logos and all these things very quickly. And you're right. Like, if that's not your thing, don't sit there and try to learn Photoshop or maybe whatever. You can just put up a basic text logo. Look at most logos today. The modern trend is a simple, interesting typography that just says, you know, Lonely Planet or whatever, REI. It's just very simple stuff. Google, it's just, you know, a few letters. That's it. So you don't have to sweat it so much. And you know, the pretty website and all these things, it helps. There's a lot of programs out there that if you're not a designer, they give you the templates, you can put something up so it just doesn't look like an old 1990s hack job, right? And you don't have to go crazy over it. So I agree with you. Don't get stuck. Don't tread water on it. Don't wait for it and any of that stuff.
What we found is with a lot of the people we've worked with, we had a guy who he was literally closing six-figure deals before he had his website up, you know?
Yeah,
and he would have people asking me, why, or where's your website, you know? And he's like, oh, I don't have one. Would that make a difference if I had a website? You know, if I can guarantee these results and provide this value to you, do you need a website? And so he argues that you would actually never need a website. I personally disagree. I think it's a great place to send people who are kind of on the fence.
Yeah.
And the way that you guys, I see that even with your websites, it becomes kind of that tipping point for a lot of the logical buyers who haven't been sold emotionally on it yet. They want to first get the logical side of it. The page seems to be kind of that emotional push over to actually buying.
Well, so I think my response to that person would be, I agree with you, is what I would say. Okay, I agree. I can go out knocking on doors, hitting LinkedIn pages, DMing people on Instagram, whatever it might be, going to conferences and connecting with people. And I can do all the legwork myself to help them understand who I am, to help them understand what I can do for them, how I can solve their problem. You could do that. But if you want to pull back a little bit and you don't want to just do that person to person to person to person yourself, and you want to start automating a business and creating a system, like think like an investor, I want this business to be like a machine that's working. Well, a lot of that legwork can be done through your email series, through your website, through your ecosystem online, right? So it's not just the website, it's everything that it's attached to as well. And we call that digital conversation, right? So this is no different than him having a 1-hour sales call saying, hey, and what does he do? He's going to handle the objections that come up. Oh, well, you know, let me tell you a story about this. And then, you know, someone's going to misunderstand something. So there's a misconception. Oh, well, no, you're misunderstanding that. And here's an hour long and he can navigate that conversation. But what we're doing is we're embracing the digital environment because it's powerful. It can automate. And now we're saying, we're going to take that old school conversation. We're going to put it online in this digital ecosystem. And now where are people based on where they are online? Where might they be in the buyer's journey? And what stories and conversations should we be having at that point? So if you can do that, you just have a smarter system. He's just cool with hacking it old school. And that's cool too.
Yeah. And I love how you articulate that, because it really does come down to the strategic vision of your company, you know? And I mean, what you're explaining, what he does is what a site does essentially as well. You know, it's meant to overcome objections and kind of guide people through that buying journey. So let me ask you this, you know, and a lot of people listening to this maybe already have a kind of semi-stable brand at this point, right? They maybe have their website, they might have, you know, a logo and things like that. But what are kind of the high level strategies you would recommend to anybody who's looking to scale their company?
To scale? So, I mean, that gets behind the scenes, right? So like anybody, I always say anyone can buy attention, but you can't buy trust, right? So you want to make sure that when you think about your marketing strategy and your digital systems, that you're building trust. It's not just, you know, the reason, and I'll just kind of define this, we say digital conversation because we wanted to shift our perceptions here at Change Creator on how we think about marketing, because they are human beings. So we want to rehumanize. With the boom of the internet, what happened was it was all about people having lack of patience for anything. It was immediacy and it's clicks, targets, right? Conversions and all these things. And we're looking at the funnels as these systematic pieces and widgets. And we're like, this click, this target, this, that. And we're like, no. We're talking to people in the end. That's really what's happening here. And if we can think about it that way, we start saying different things. We start doing different things, even in the digital space. So it makes a big difference in the behavior pattern when you're implementing these things. So now we go deeper because we're saying, well, I got to build trust. So what does that mean then? So now I need a site that, instead of just trying to get a sale up front, well, maybe I offer them a small commitment, which is like the traditional lead magnet called a high value content offer. And then I'm going to send them these 8 emails. I'm going to tell them about this and how it relates to this product that we do and about this. I'm going to tell them a story about one of our customers and how amazing it is and how we help them and what, how we express our values that we believe in through our business. All of a sudden, now I'm building trust. Now I'm building a relationship. Now we can think about timing. When do I pitch the business? So now timing is a crucial factor, right? Just like the old adage, you don't just walk into a car dealership and someone's like, hey, you want to buy a car right now? Well, no, like, you know, it's just like, you got to work it up, right? Got to build a relationship.
Yeah. And that trust is something that, I mean, honestly, in the online space is super, it appears almost impossible to do. But I mean, what you guys are talking about doing is kind of baking trust building exercises into your current funnels, sales processes, and what have you. Is that correct?
Yes, you have to. Trust is probably one of the most important resources today because it's limited. Yeah. You know, one of the things we teach in Captivate is right out of the gate in the beginning, earlier sessions, is we do a background on discovering the history of like understanding how marketing has evolved. You know, people's red flags are up. Why? Like, what's going on? What's happened in the digital space that's causing people to feel this way, consciously or unconsciously, right? Once we understand those human drivers and the how tech has created that human behavior, we could start saying, okay, I'm understanding people a little bit better now, and I can start to build those bridges of trust and give them the genuine, authentic information they're looking for. You can't do that if you don't know. You don't do your research. You don't know how these things evolved and why they are the way they are, right? It's like trying to play a piano but not knowing anything about the piano.
Yeah. And I mean, the reality is with that is that, you know, if you're not building that in, the sales are going to slow eventually because you can really only do so much based off of direct outreach. But what you're talking about is saying, hey, let's create a system so that they'll continue to come back to us. And you're creating advocacy with people, that referral partnership with a lot of people. And that's where the real sales come in, right?
It's true. So, and it depends what you're selling. Right? Let's just be clear for your audience. Like if you're selling a transactional $10 widget, okay, you don't have to build that much more trust. The higher the price point, the more trust and time you're going to build into this process, right? If I'm selling a $2,000 product, I'm not pitching the sale right out of the gate. I know we need to kind of connect a few times first. We need to talk. You need to know a little more about our program, about us. Why would you trust us to teach you anything, right? So then we can ask them for the sale when it's appropriate, but you gotta know when that is. And the more, if it's a $50,000 solution for a service, again, tell me one time you get on a call and you sell a $50,000 solution right out of the gate. It doesn't happen, okay?
The sales cycle's longer, right? Some people would argue that you could do it for sure, but I think they've really leveraged the trust relationship. And most people will say, oh, I've been building trust with this person so that I can close in one call. Right. Yeah. And that's where I think that, especially for most of the people listening to this, right. They're a coach or an agency of some sort. Maybe they run a mastermind and they're saying, okay, I'm trying to figure out how to sell high ticket and at scale. And what you're talking about is incorporating some strategies into your actual, I would say more of your digital presence so that you can close more sales. Yeah. So I have to ask you this, like, what are some of the best trust building pieces that you can do as an entrepreneur, especially in one of those, you know, as a coach or an agency?
Yeah. I mean, there's different kinds of acts and stories, right? So one area of trust would be, providing, like, sticking to what you promise, right? If you have a digital download, you're trying to build your email list, deliver on what you say you're going to deliver. Don't just use all these hyped up words and headlines to get like that clickbait thing going on, you know, most ultimate best guide ever. No one could beat us. You're going to sell $1 million in the next 3 months. And then they're going to download it. It's like some lame word doc that tells you almost nothing that they could care about. Okay. Trust gone. Right. So deliver on what you say you're going to deliver on. Authenticity. People don't just want to know what's in it for them anymore. We used to call that WIFM, right? What's in it for me? They want to know what's in it for you too, right? Why are you doing this? Why are you trying to sell me this? What's in it for you? So if you're willing to be vulnerable and put yourself out there, here's what I'm all about. Here's why I'm doing this. Here's what's in it for me. Like, there's stories there that you can be sharing through your ecosystem that help people relate to you in that sense. You know, we literally have people come to us and they're like, man, you guys are just so genuine and real. I already trust you guys. I just need to come up with the money and do this and do that, right? So the objection of trust goes away, right? The other part of it is getting into these like emails and videos where you're talking and you're telling stories. So, you know, what we teach is in Captivate is not just here's your brand story or founder story. We're digging into all that stuff for your brand expression. We call that the core story. That's the core of the business, the backbone. But we also need sales stories. And I can make up stories for my sales stories, right? Talk about baking a cake and all these other things. I've done it. But if I have something relevant, I'll talk about, I remember when I was living in New York City and I did this. I remember when I was wrestling as a young kid and I went to the Nationals. All of a sudden, I'm using my story to demonstrate a sales point, a sales story. But they're also at the same time learning about me. And guess what's happening? Oh, I used to wrestle too. Oh, I did that. And all of a sudden, the trust starts just sinking up. They're getting to know me from every video that we talk about, right? That's how we do it.
Yeah. And I love that because I mean, I love the articulation between the, you know, what's in it for me and what's in it for them. I mean, that's, I would agree with that. I've never thought about it that way. This is a good eye-opening experience for me. You know, I think people really do want to know like what's in it for you and why you're doing what you're doing. Because I mean, the obvious thing is like, well, of course I want to make money. Right. And of course I want to help you and drive impact. And the problem that I see a lot of times is people kind of choose one or the other, right? They're like, here's me with my Lamborghinis and here's me. I'm never going to take a picture because I'm too humble, quote unquote, to take a picture.
Yeah.
And there's kind of like these extremes. But I really love that, you know, it's like, how can you find a way to relate to them? Maybe on a level that's not business related, especially if you're in the business sector, which most people are who are listening to this. I mean, I love the wrestling concept. I mean, that's something Russell Brunson. He's always talking about that, right? He's like, I was a very successful athlete. And so a lot of successful athletes flock to him. So really cool. Love that articulation.
Yeah.
Have you wrestled Russell Brunson yet? That's the big question.
Have what? Have a wrestle?
Have you wrestled Brunson?
No, I did. I've interviewed him twice. The first interview, I did talk to him about wrestling a little bit, but not too much. But yeah, I think he's gone pretty far with it. I did as well. I was full-time year round. I won states, freestyle states. I went to nationals. I was on Team New Jersey and I did the whole hustle, man. But then I busted my knee twice in the same knee. And that was it. Yeah. I didn't make it to college wrestling.
Dang. I'm sorry to hear that. Well, if you can wrestle again, challenge him to wrestle. It'll be a great brand. Like our brands are wrestling together, right?
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, that's awesome. I really do appreciate you coming on today and sharing a lot of this because I hope people have been listening to this and saying, how can I leverage branding to my benefit? I mean,
yeah,
we started off by talking about kind of the visual aspect, but really I love the core of what you're talking about, which is how do you find the trust? How do you build trust? And it's not as difficult as people would think. It's all about sharing a story that relates to them from your life, not finding stories in your life and trying to figure out how it relates to them. So
yeah, three things, the right story at the right time to the right people.
Love it. Beautiful. See, we could have just ended the episode on that, man. Dang, I should have paid attention. But I do want to ask you, man, because obviously there's, you know, you're here for money as well. You're here for impact. And you're here to help other people to solidify their story. So we know why you're here, but how can people get in contact with you and get what they want from you?
So, you know, at Change Creator, we're all about making a meaningful difference in the world, using our businesses as that solution, right? Kind of like building those lives that are meaningful to us. So you go to changecreator.com, you'll find everything there. But if you go to changecreator.com/go-big, you'll find some other resources there as well.
I love that. So make sure you go check that out. Excuse me. So it's changecreator.com/go-big. Go check that out, guys, because this is the kind of stuff that's going to really help you in scaling your business through brand. So Adam, to finish this off, I want to ask you one final question.
What you got?
So, you know, we've covered a lot of topics. So if you could leave one final parting piece of guidance with our audience saying, like, this is the one thing I hope you take away from this interview, what would that be?
I would say focus on understanding who you want to be. What does that look like? Write down a list of 20 different things you want. I want this much money. I want to be this kind of person, whatever it is. I want to work 3 hours a week. And then you have to actually start becoming that version of yourself. And that requires not big shifts rapidly, but small steps every day that build up.
I hope that you enjoyed this episode of the Lucky Titan Podcast. If you want to fill your favorite platform with dream customers, then come join myself and thousands of others of hosts at theluckytitan.com/tribe. Here you can find guests for your show, get featured on other shows, and discover the secrets to building an audience of raving fans. So once again, go create your free account at theluckytitan.com/tribe.